Tonka, moccasins, and Stetson hats. West of Olean.
School is back in session and Labor Day is right around the corner. The Bible says the hands of the diligent will rule, but the lazy man will be put to forced labor. Also, God gives us the power to get well to establish His covenant. This Labor Day, reflect on the blessings we have in this country to be able to work hard and receive a reward for doing so. And if you're still in the workforce, thank God for the ability and opportunity to work.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Pastor Brian Longworth.
We will be celebrating Labor Day, and Labor Day is, I always say, it's one of those really odd holidays because it's a day that actually people take off of work, but it's a day that celebrates work and commemorates work and remembers work. The Bible has a lot to say about work, and we've been really the last several years before Labor Day, we've been actually preaching a sermon on work from the Bible, because the Bible again talks about work. God created work, and there are some that really despise work and don't want to work, try to get out of work. The Bible actually does talk a lot about work, because God created work. He even created work before the fall. Adam had a job, had work to do before he sinned. Now, after the fall, work is harder. One of the curses was that Adam would actually work by the sweat of his brow, that he would have to actually, it would be difficult to get things done. And of course, that requires perseverance. It requires dedication. It requires not giving up. It requires an attitude of whatever it takes. Success is going to happen. Failure is not an option. And we need to actually view work as something that God has given us. God has given us tasks. He didn't want us to just lay around. He could have created us so that we could just lay around all day, so that we could lie by the beach all day, so that we could enjoy pleasure and enjoy leisure all day. And yet we know, even looking at our bodies, if we do that, what will happen? If you just lay around, if you just sit around, if you're not doing anything productive, your body actually starts to deteriorate. You can't do the things that you used to be able to do. Even getting up out of a chair or getting up out of bed can be a chore and can be difficult. We need to be diligent. And today we're going to look at really a very important lesson. A man who excels in his work will stand before kings. And this is from Proverbs chapter 22, verse 9. Do you see a man who excels in his work? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before unknown men. You know, if you are good at what you do, people will take notice. People will look. People will notice that you are good at what you do. They will value that. And they're going to talk to other people. And they're going to say, listen, you need to hire this person. Or you need to hire this company because they have a certain worker that really does a great job. So whether you're in business for yourself, have your own business, or whether you actually work for someone else, this can actually come about. When you get to the level where you're not just there doing a job and doing as little as you can possibly do, or just not really even paying attention to what you're doing or how you're doing it, not really caring about whether you're doing quality work all the time or not. Certainly, you look even at automobiles. If you buy an automobile that was made on a Friday, unfortunately, it's not going to be as reliable as one that was made on Wednesday, because people are, they're thinking about the weekend. They're some of the people aren't paying attention to what they need to do. But we need to be people that excel in our work, that actually put the effort in to do the job, to do it right, to actually excel, not just to do it with the least amount of effort that is possible to get the job done, to just show up and you don't even really want to be there, but you're there and you do the least amount. I've heard people talk about that. You know, well, I've even mentioned how at times in my life I did, sometimes when I was in college, I would do day labor on spring break rather than going and partying. I would actually work, but I didn't have a job, full-time job, so I would just go out and do day labor. And I remember doing this one job where we were actually digging the trenches for a home for the plumbing. And the guy that was there with me said, you know, we don't want to work too hard because we'll work our way out of a job. That's obviously the wrong type of work. That guy wasn't looking to excel in his work. He was just looking to be able to get paid for work. He wasn't trying to do the best that he possibly could so that maybe the person that hired us would look upon him and say, you know what? I don't want to just go and get a guy for day labor. You're a good guy. I'm going to hire you. He didn't have that mentality, didn't even come into his mind. He was just trying to get paid and was willing to do the least amount of work, or wanting to do the least amount of work to get it done. But this God is saying that we need to excel in our work. And if we do so, we will stand before kings. We will not stand before unknown men. So you become, as you excel in your work, you can get to where you have a reputation so that people that are leaders, people that are in positions of authority will start taking notice of you. You're not going to be there working day labor all your life. You may start out working day labor, or you may start out and on the low level of the totem pole at a job and the low level, and really someone that really people don't even realize that you're there. But if you're diligent in your work, if you not just are diligent, but you actually excel in your work, then there will be even a demand for you, and people will actually want to see you and want you to actually do the work that you need to do. So this is a principle, and we're going to look at some people in the Bible that actually saw this. And one of the passages I just want to make a reference to, we actually have talked about this in past years, Proverbs chapter 12, verse 24, the hand of the diligent will rule, but the lazy man will be put to forced labor. So this is really kind of ironic that the person that is diligent in work would actually rule over the person that is lazy. The person that is lazy has to be made to work. The person that's diligent does the work, even though they may not like to do the work. They do the work to and rise to a level where they don't have to work quite as hard anymore. And we need to realize that when we are doing something, we are doing what we are doing first and foremost, not for man. Certainly, we should try to please our bosses if you're working for a company. Whether you're working for a company or working in your own company, you need to be working to please your customers. Even if you're working for a company, you need to work to please the customers, because they are actually the ones who are paying the money that earns your paycheck. And so we need to realize this. And when we look at Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse 23, we see, "And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ." And so when we do things, we need to do things as unto the Lord. And let us look in the Bible in Genesis chapter 39. We're also going to read Genesis chapter 41 from 41, and we're going to reference what happened in Genesis chapter 40 as well. Because what happens, we have an excellent example of this, and it's not the only excellent example of this, but it's really probably the best example that I can think of. You actually have a man, Joseph, who his brothers are jealous. He's seeing dreams of himself and the sun and the moon and the stars bowing down to him, and he's seeing stacks of grain that represent his parents and his brothers bowing down to him. And his brothers are jealous. His dad loves him and makes him a coat of many colors. They despise him and really want to do him in. And in fact, even talked about killing him. And yet, rather than kill him, one of the brothers talked them into selling him as a slave. Now, slavery is horrible. Certainly, it beats death, but it's not a good situation. So we pick up this passage here when the brothers had actually sold him as a slave in Genesis chapter 39, beginning of verse 1. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. And the Lord was with Joseph. We see, first of all, Joseph's brothers sold him as slaves to the Ishmaelites. They're slaves. He's a slave to the Ishmaelites. And you may remember Ishmael from earlier in the book of Genesis. Joseph is then a slave, and then the Ishmaelites sell him to Potiphar, who's an officer in Pharaoh's army. So Joseph here is a slave. Now, as a slave, you might think that he would just say, "Well, you know what? I'm a slave. I'm going to do the least amount that I can get away with. I'm not going to be productive. I'm not going to excel in my work. I'm not going to go above and beyond. I'm just going to sit back. I'm going to do the least amount of work. I'm going to try to maybe not get beaten for not working very hard, but I'm not going to actually work very hard." But that's not what Joseph did. In verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man and was in the house of his master, the Egyptians. Just think about that concept there. He was a slave, yet he was successful. He was a slave, but was successful. Joseph was someone who was in slavery, yet he was successful even in slavery. He was a successful man, and he was serving in the house of the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord had made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put under his authority. So you see here that God was with Joseph. So you see, as if you're a servant of the Lord, you're doing what is right. You're applying biblical principles to live the way God wants you to live. You can actually have a profound impact on the world. And there's great and mighty things that can happen because of the goodness of God that is working in your life. And so the Lord was with him. He prospered, and Potiphar saw that he prospered, and Potiphar put him in charge and promoted him. He found Joseph found favor in his sight, and Potiphar made him overseer of his household and put everything that he had under his authority. In verse 5, and so it was from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. So God is blessing a slave owner because one of his slaves is his child. Imagine that. And he's finding favor in the sight of Pharaoh because Pharaoh sees the blessing of God on Joseph because Joseph is excelling in his work. Verse 6. Then he left all that he had in Joseph's hands, and he did not know what he had except the bread that he ate. Now Joseph, and so everything that he had was in Joseph's hand, and he didn't even account for it. Now, by the way, with most people, that can be a dangerous thing. It's a good policy to really check up on people and make sure they're doing what is right, because sometimes they'll tell you they're doing what is right and they won't be doing what is right. But here we see Joseph actually doing what is right and God blessing him, and everything that he had was blessed. And now Joseph, we see, was handsome in form and appearance. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hands. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept anything back from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And so, really, a lot of men would be tempted. We don't know what Potiphar's wife looked like. We don't have pictures, but it's very likely that she was beautiful herself. And she wants to lie with Joseph. And certainly Joseph is in a place of trust. He might have gotten away with it. Probably not forever. Certainly God would have known. Probably his master would have found out eventually. But Joseph could have gotten away with it for a period of time at least. And many men would jump at this opportunity. Yet Joseph realizes that first he would be sinning against God, and second he would also be sinning against Potiphar. He would also be sinning against Potiphar's wife, even though Potiphar's wife would be a willing participant. So Joseph refuses, and what you see in the next few verses is that Joseph is alone with Potiphar's wife in the house one day, and she grabs his clothes and says, "Lie with me," and he again refuses. And he takes off because she's actually committed to lie with him at that point. He takes off, leaves his coat, his clothes with her, or his outer garment with her. And so she then pretends that he tried to rape her. And so Potiphar actually puts him in jail, in prison. You see this in verse 20. Then Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in the prison. So you see, Joseph, who was sold by his brothers as a slave, and then was sold by the Ishmaelites to Potiphar, and he's a slave, yet God prospered him in slavery and prospered prospered Potiphar because of Joseph. And yet you see here that Joseph is there and he's actually mistreated. He's lied about and he's put into prison. So now he's in prison. And many people, when they're in prison, would be very depressed and would say, well, I'm just going to do the least amount. In fact, I'm just going to lie here on the bed. I'm not going to do anything. But we see in verse 21, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. And he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the house. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made to prosper. So you see, Joseph in prison is still excelling in his work. He's not being depressed. He's not laying on his cot, just hoping that the time will pass by and that he might actually get out of prison. He's actually excelling in his work, even in prison. And he's in a place of authority, even in prison. And the prison keeper, the prison doesn't even look into anything that is under his authority because he trusts Joseph. And you know that there was the baker and the butcher, and they're both there, and they have dreams. And Joseph interprets their dream and says, hey, to the one was going to be executed and one was going to be restored. And he said to the one that was going to be restored, remember me. Well, the guy didn't remember him, didn't even think. And Joseph could have been in despair, but Joseph instead actually continued to excel in his work. And then Pharaoh had a dream, and he had this dream twice, and it troubled him very much, and there was no one that could interpret it. And so the man who was released from prison remembered Joseph and remembered the interpretation of the dream that Joseph had done and told Pharaoh, and Pharaoh brought and called for Joseph. And the Bible tells us in Genesis 41 that Joseph washed, he changed his clothes, he shaved, he presented himself with good apparel. And in verse 37, he interprets the dream and he advises Pharaoh what to do. And in verse 37, we see, so the advice was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God? Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring off his hand and put it on Joseph's hand, and he clothed him in garments of fine linen and put gold chains around his neck. And he had him ride in the second chariot, which he had, and they cried out before him, bow the knee. So he set him over all the land of Egypt. Pharaoh also said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without your consent, no man may lift his hand or foot in the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paneah. And he gave him as wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. So Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. And you see here someone who's brothers betrayed him, sold him as a slave to the Ishmaelites. The Ishmaelites sold him to Potiphar. He's excellent. He excels in his work, and He's put over the household, but then he's falsely accused. He's put into prison, but he excels in his work there as well and rises to a place of authority in prison. And then he comes out of prison and actually rises to a place of authority where he's second only to Pharaoh in the kingdom. And we know that God used him to not only save the Egyptians, but to also save the Israelites from starvation. All of this was sovereign and providentially ordained by God. And Joseph, at no point do we see any evidence that Joseph was sorry for himself, that Joseph sat back and complained or just in despair didn't do what he was supposed to do. He excelled in his work, and he was before kings at the time. He was leader of the nation of Egypt, second only to Pharaoh. And we know that his brothers did come in fulfillment of the dream that he had when he was a child and bowed down to him. All of this came to pass because God was with him and because he excelled in his work. And whatever you do, whether you're a janitor, whether you're an accountant, whether you're a cleaner, whether you mow lawns, whether you go out, whatever you do, do all as unto the Lord. Do it as unto the Lord and excel in your work, and you will stand before people of authority. You might start out working for people of lowly levels of authority, but you will rise in authority as you learn to excel in your work. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Lord, hasten the day when the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
School is back in session and Labor Day is right around the corner. The Bible says the hands of the diligent will rule, but the lazy man will be put to forced labor. Also, God gives us the power to get well to establish his covenant. This Labor Day, reflect on the blessings we have in this country to be able to work hard and receive a reward for doing so. And if you're still in the workforce, thank God for the ability and opportunity to work.
Hello, this is Pastor Chaco Varghese inviting you to listen to Word of Eternal Life every Monday at 5:30 a.m. to learn more about God's plan of eternal life through Jesus Christ here at WCNO 89.9 FM.
Hi, this is Pastor Philip Upton of Just a Voice Radio Ministry, broadcasting here on WCNO 89.9, Saturdays, 5 a.m. and p.m. Come on and join us. Hope to see you there.
Testimonies feed my faith. I love to hear about miracles. Do you too? Well, you can listen to my show. I'm Rhett Palmer. It's a new day every day at 7 a.m., 3 p.m., and 3 a.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 on your FM dial.